Hello, my name is Seojin Kim from Samsung Electronics, and I'll talk about the performance optimization of Tizen WebKit, especially for memory and graphics. Okay, these are the agenda of my presentation today. I'll start from the introduction and rendering architecture, and then explain our effort for graphics performance and memory optimization in detail. And then finally, I'll conclude. Here we go. This is the basic workflow of web browser engine interners. I'm not sure how much you are familiar with the web browser engine interners. I'll just briefly explain it before diving into the main topic of my presentation. So, actually, I carried a laser pointer, but that doesn't work on this screen, so I'll use this stick. As you can see, there are six major tasks in web browser engine. Actually, they are not conducted in any certain sequential order, but they are triggered by each other indirectly in an event-driven way. However, we can simplify the web page loading and rendering process like this, according to the input and output of each task. So, web page loading starts from resource routing. Resource routing fetches the raw data files like HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and image files through network or file system. And once the raw data is ready, the parsing parses this raw data to construct DOM tree and corresponding render tree, and which has all the elements in the web contents in a tree data structure. And layouting, compute, and save the exact position and size of each element in render tree. And the web browser engine encounters JavaScript code while parsing. It just stops parsing and executes JavaScript code first before going further parsing. And this JavaScript code can actually modify the web contents, and it triggers parsing and layout again and again and again. And anyhow, after these three tasks finish to build a render tree and compute some reason, which we call the dirty reason, which should be repainted, painting occurs. So, painting traverses the render tree and conducts the actual painting job to create backing store for each graphics layer in render tree. Since these backing stores are off-screen buffer, and sometimes it's splitted into tiny pieces of, we call it tiles, we should put them together into other surface so that it can show up in a complete form like this. And this process is called drawing or compositing. And from now on, when I say rendering, it is rather narrow meaning, just for painting and drawing. And this blue box is the main focus of my presentation. Okay. The overall rendering architecture of Tizen WebKit. The Tizen WebKit is based on WebKit 2 EFL. And WebKit 2 is multi-process model of WebKit. So basically it has two processes, UI process and web process. And for the graphics rendering, we adopted coordinated graphics architecture. The key point of coordinated graphics architecture is offloading the compositing task from the web core main thread, which usually runs almost all web core jobs, and how we apply the coordinated graphics architecture. We put the compositing task onto UI process side. So when web process finished painting to tile back buffers, UI process composite the tile back tiles into display. And the major benefit of this architecture is user responsiveness. Because UI process doesn't have any heavy workload itself, so it can respond to user event immediately. And this is especially good for scrolling responsiveness, because the UI process already has the access to all tiles. It can composite the tiles into display whenever it needs, without any help from web process side. Alright, let's talk about the graphics performance optimization. This is one of the main chapters of my presentation. Okay, this is the basic render flow of Tizen Wiki-based browser. Supposing that the browser has four major visible objects here, title bar, URL bar, toolbar, and the web view. And this object is here inside the browser process, these four AWS objects. And as I mentioned already, we have two processes, UI process and web process, and they communicate each other through core IPC. Web core and JavaScript core is inside web process, and here you can see the coordinated compositing. Actually, we don't have actual class or object with exactly the same name as this, but it is an abstraction for some modules for easier understanding. When render tree requires graphics layers, the coordinated compositing create layers and create backing store for each layer. Like this, it has multiple layers. Now, when web process decide to repaint a portion of web content, it paints the web content using Cairo Pixman backend into tile back buffers. These tile back buffers are on shared memory, which can be shareable between UI process and web process. And web process synchronize the coordinated compositing state between UI process, so the UI process has the same state of coordinated compositing. It means the same layers and same backing stores. So we call this backing store sometimes coordinated backing store. Now, UI process should update the screen to reflect the update from the web process. So it composites the tile back buffers into the surface of AWS object for web view. This compositing is done by GPU actually, so the final tile back buffers should be located in GPU memory, like this. But we have the tiled back buffers here, shared memory. So first, UI process need to upload each tiled buffers into GPU memory from shared memory. So this tile texture uploading happens for every tile and every update. This is the basic and maybe initial render flow when you just port the Tizen to a new target device. And here's the optimized version of render flow. Can you tell the difference from the previous one? Actually, the answer is here. First, we don't have any shared memory between UI process and web process. Instead, web process paint the contents into the type buffers in GPU memory directory. It means that UI process doesn't need to update or upload the tile textures GPU memory. And the second difference is UI process composites these tile back buffers into window buffer, not ever subject buffer. So here we don't have any separate buffer for ever subject. Let's see the optimizations in further. Alright. Shared platform surface Tizen. We defined a new type of surface for tile and graphic surface back buffer, and we named it shared platform buffer Tizen. And this shared platform surface Tizen has three unique characteristics. One, it is located in GPU memory. Two, the second one is it's shareable between multiple processes. So UI process and web process can both directly access this buffer. And the third and the final one is both CPU and GPU can access this buffer directory. And this is how we could get rid of the shared memory between UI process and web process for tile back buffer sharing. However, this is not free. So this requires some dedicated support. It means that some API in Tizen Buffer Manager and EGL extension should be implemented in a proper way to support these characteristics. Now, the zero copy rendering is realized. It means that no texture uploading in UI process. It's beneficial for power consumption and drawing speed because we reduce the memory intensive task from UI process. However, it has bad side as well. Due to the restriction of allocating time, we introduced a pool for shared platform surface Tizen to recycle them once we create them. And this pool affect the memory consumption negatively. Secondly, we are using EvasGL Direct Rendering for compositing. EvasGL Direct Rendering is a feature supported by EvasGL. So if you are interested more for this specific feature, I recommend you to refer the EvasGL user manual or some document. Anyway, the key point of EvasGL Direct Rendering is not allocating the EVAS subject surface in our case, for web view. Instead, it gives the control to application so that the application itself draws its contents into window buffer when the EVAS compositing actually happens. So, we reduced compositing count once after all. And this is beneficial for power consumption and drawing speed because this compositing is one of memory intensive job. Besides, it is also good for memory consumption. Just because we don't allocate any memory for web view EVAS subject.
When there's a simple page that I found there's still two GL contests. One is for the application, another is for WebKit. Is this optimized target for that?
For very simple
pages. For example, when we launched the Tizen browser, I do some profiling, I found that there are two GL contests. One is for the browser application, another is for WebKit. So it means that for WebKit itself, it still create a GR context for the ESGR object.
Actually, Okay. Here. Actually, I suppose that we are using the GL backend for composting here.
Yeah.
But actually, we have another backend, software backend for composting mm-hmm. for UI process. So you can choose software backend or GL backend, and it learns it. It can configured in runtime.
Okay, I understand. And in my question, I mean that even for the UI process only, not to mention the web process, I think that's still GL context in my profiling. One is from the application itself, another from the WebKit view.
I'm sorry, I can't catch
you. I mean that there are two processes. And my question, I don't care about the web process, I only care about the UI process. In the UI process, mm-hmm. there's compositing inside WebKit itself.
Yes.
And there's also some running, for example, running the address bar, the toolbar, by the browser application. So there are still two GL context. Is my understanding right?
GL context.
I mean that when you try to running the toolbar and the address bar, you have to do a GL context switch that is GL make current. And when you turn back to the WebKit, you will call another GL make current. Maybe I'm in charge. We can talk it offline. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. All right. And we don't have one single optimal paint path for every type of HTML element. So we differentiate the paint path for some HTML element, especially for canvas element. So here we have two types of canvas element. One is 2D canvas and the other is WebGL. They, unlike the other HTML element, requires more typical graphics performance. So we are using GPU power for painting those elements. So here you can see the different paint paths for WebGL and 2D canvas. So I will talk about each paint path one by one from now. 2D canvas. When it say accelerated 2D canvas, it means that this 2D canvas element has its own graphics layer, and this graphics layer has its own backing store. And Tizen is using Cairo GL ES for painting this backing store for 2D canvas. Cairo has two kinds of backend, Pixman and GL ES. Cairo Pixman backend is running on top of CPU, and Cairo GL ES is running on GPU. So we are using GPU for painting 2D canvas. And 2D canvas element is one of the most popular candidate for 2D graphics game. So especially we optimize this 2D game-like graphics performance using Texture Atlas in Cairo GL ES level. But I'm not telling in detail about Cairo GL ES level optimization because we will have another session for Cairo optimization in other room, maybe in next session, presented by one of the major Cairo GL ES developers. So far, we achieved and we are very proud of the highest score of Canvas Perf on mobile browsers. This is gathered on Tizen reference target with Tizen 2.1 release, which is just released. Next, WebGL. WebGL takes another new paint path. It is using GLES directory. Because WebGL has quite similar form of APIs as OpenGL ES. This is pretty natural architecture. And we create three buffers for one WebGL element. And these three buffers are used in turn. Why triple buffers? Because these triple buffers enables three-stage pipelining for WebGL processing, from painting by web process and issuing command for compositing by UI process, and then the actual compositing done by GPU. Please note that the GPU works in an asynchronous way, so we have this three-stage pipelining. And so far, we achieved more than 35 frames per second for Google Aquarium WebGL sample on Titan reference target with Titan 2.1. Also, there are not many mobile browsers out there which support WebGL yet. This is the highest number definitely. Alright, now I'll talk about the memory optimization. Before mentioning the detailed optimization items in further, we should address the objectives of this memory optimization. It is completely for the foreground application, which should run smoothly without any lack of resources. So we take different approaches depending on the application state. When an application is in foreground, which means the web view is visible and in active state, we should ensure the certain level of performance quality and minimize the memory consumption at the same time. But on the other hand, when the application goes background, it means that the web view is invisible and usually in suspended state. It should yield as much memory as possible for the foreground application. Let's see about foreground web application memory optimization. When we break down the memory usage for a given web application, we can find out several sort of typical memory profile depending on the content characteristics. So, when an application has very dynamic and fancy UX, the primary memory consumption is for tiles and JavaScript heap. And an application has many image resources in that, it requires much portion of resource cache for memory consumption. And an application has an content with very big size, the tile memory consumption is the biggest portion of total memory consumption for that application. So here is a sample of memory profile result for an application which has very complex UX. The big three are tile, JavaScript heap, and resource cache. And these big three are controllable by these parameters. So tile memory is affected by tile cover area size and tile size, and JavaScript heap memory is affected by JavaScript engine garbage collection period, and resource cache memory is affected by resource cache size. However, we cannot just restrict the value of these parameters because they are associated with performance also. This is an example of performance memory trade-off, and it's regarding tile memory. This picture shows how we split the content into tiles and how we handle the tile memory. This blue box is viewport, which is actually seen to user. And we define tile cover area as multiples of viewport. For example, in this picture, twice of width and twice of height. And we create and keep the tiles which intersect with this tile cover area. So in this picture, only these pink painted tiles are in existence in memory. So what if the tile cover area size getting bigger? It's obvious that the memory consumption will grow. So it's bad for memory consumption. But it is good for scrolling responsiveness. Just imagine that a user flip down and down very quickly. And how about the tile size? This picture shows what happens if the tile is getting bigger. It requires more memory, so it's bad for memory consumption, but it's good for painting speed. Assuming that we paint the same size of area, the render tree traverse time is constant for every tile, so it is better painting speed than the smaller one. So we have these kinds of performance memory trade-off for all these parameters. So what? So there is no single answer for these parameters. Instead, we should examine and select carefully considering the actual target device. And talk about background web app memory optimization. When an application goes background, it releases memory for tile, resource cache, and JavaScript heap. It can release tile memory by just suspending the tile painting and purging the backing store. And it can release resource cache and JavaScript heap, not by just releasing, but save the memory data into disk cache before freeing the memory. So when an application goes to background and in a suspended state, it only has this portion of memory. And when it comes to foreground again, it recovers tile memory by repainting resource cache and JavaScript heap by restoring the data from disk cache to memory. And it can run just before it goes background. Here, utilizing disk cache for JavaScript heap and resource cache is not included Tizen 2.1, and actually it is one of our ongoing tasks. Now it's time to conclude. We improved the graphics performance for Tizen WebKit basically by reducing the memory operations like texture loading and compositing. And it's beneficial for memory drawing speed and power consumption. And in web process side, we differentiate the paint path depending on the element types. So we are exploiting GPU for the canvas element to the canvas and WebGL. And about memory optimization, we took different approaches depending on the application state. So when an application is in foreground, we should consider the parameters. We should be careful to select the parameters which can affect memory and performance both, but in opposite way. And when an application goes background, we just release as much memory as possible for the foreground application. And that's it for my presentation. Thank you for listening.
Hello, I have a question. Would you please go to slide 10?
10.
Maybe. Yeah. Yes, this one. If I understand correctly, the tile surfaces will be rendered to window buffer directly.
Yes. Right.
Okay. And so there is no texture update in the UI process.
Right.
And how goes the title bar like things?
You mean these things?
Yes. So they are also directly rendered to the window buffer?
No, we just apply the AVSGL direct rendering only for web view. So there's no web view surface, but we have other surfaces here. So still AVS needs to compose the AVS object.
Okay.
But when the AVS actually compose this AVS object, and it gives the control to the browser process to draw the web view directly into this window buffer.
So so the browser process will still do the composition, but just without the content from web process.
Yes, right.
Yes. And I have another question. It's, will the web process use these surfaces as texture?
No.
It won't use it. So it sounds like there won't be textures in the in the whole WebKit.
Whole WebKit.
Okay. Just now, I switched to another question. That's in the web process. Yeah, you have the pool. There are many surfaces. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Many unused surfaces.
Yes.
Just black one.
Will those surfaces be used as texture?
Oh, they are not used as texture directly, but it keeps the pool somewhere in GPU memory. And it needs to paint some portion of tile. It just pick an unused surface from the pool and draw the tile content and give it to UI process.
Yeah.
The UI process just switch the tile back buffer to the new surface.
Okay.
And the old one is go to pool again.
Okay. Can I understand this in this way? The tiled surfaces, all the tiled surfaces will be composite together in to the window buffer directly.
Yes, right.
Okay. And one more question is, what's that window buffer? Is it an X window?
Yes, right.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Thank
you. That's all for my questions.
Thank you.
So all this is done the GPU?
Only this is done by CPU.
The, only the contents of CPU?
Yeah, and others are all done by GPU.
It's all on one thread, right? Single thread.
Yes. Yeah. These are on the single thread.
So it's content being rendered last. Content is called rendered very last. Where is that process on painting the web content?
I can't catch you.
What's the sequence of rendering here?
Okay, I understand your question. This is not a sequential pass among these. I just show you the possible paint path.
Oh, I see.
So when for the content, the paint path goes right.
Hello. Another question.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the WebGL, you mean that there's a triple buffer? My question is for the shared platform surface between the web and the UI process, is it still back with the triple buffer?
No.
At least it seems the question to me. For example, when the web process is updating the piece map and the UI process is reading the data, it will cause tearing.
Good question. Actually, we are using pool for these textures, so it works like double buffering. So there's no tearing and no separation.
So you mean that between the web and the UI process, for each shared platform surface, it is backed with two buffers?
Not exactly. Always the double buffering, but it works like that. When it needs to update, it just allocate a new buffer, so it is same like double buffering.
So you mean that it works for either the WebGL, Canvas 2D, and the video share platform?
Yes.
Because different users have different shared platform.
We are using the same form of preference surface type, shared preference surface ties in for all the element, but the double buffering is only applied to content, and WebGL, as I mentioned, triple buffering, and for 2D canvas, we just use one single buffer shared by UI process and web process, because the 2D canvas requires the preserve the previous frame. So when we apply double buffering, we should copy the previous one to the next one always. So use double buffering.
So you mean that from the UI process, I just look at one buffer, but in the web process for 2D canvas, it will copy what has been finished rendering to the target buffer to be used by the UI process?
No, it doesn't any copy. It doesn't any copy, but just draw the content, just paint the content into this surface directory. And some synchronization mechanism between UI process and web process is there for 2D canvas element.
So you mean that is there possible that for the web and the UI process, they are working on the same piece map at the same time?
No, at all, because we have another synchronization mechanism in DDK level.
Oh, so you mean it is guaranteed by the synchronization?
Yeah.
Seems maybe it will impact the performance. Do you agree?
Not actually, because we are using triple or double buffering for these two, and for it can affect to the performance of 2D canvas only.
Okay, understand. And another question, you mean that you try to optimize the memory usage as the background, when the application is the background? My question is it possible that when the new window is created, then this window may cover the browser window? We still want to keep the browser window active. Is it possible? Maybe the driven of the usage is that, for example, when we try to do the full screen support, it is done by the UI process now.
Yeah.
So it means for example, give the video as an example, it is rendered in the UI process. And does the compositing in the web it is rendered in the web process, and does compositing in the UI process.
Right.
Somehow it is suboptimal. So I think it's better to create a native window in the web process to do the full screen video playback. It will give us better performance and power.
Maybe, yeah.
But the reality is that if a new window is created, it will hide the browser window. Yeah. Then browser transition into the suspend mode.
Suspend mode, yeah.
Is there a better way to avoid this?
Mm-hmm.
To avoid the browser changing into the suspend mode.
Mm-hmm. And we don't create any native window for the video element for full screen now.
Yes, it's not effect now, but I try to do so.
Then you just keep the browser window as in active state. You can control it.
I want to keep it active and let the event pass through to the browser window.
But you can control the active state and inactive state of web view by some API, suspend or resume. So it can control over, even though it is invisible, it can be in active state.
So how to control it?
We are providing some APIs to suspend the web view and
so
resuming the web view. So basically,
okay, thank you.
Okay, let's talk outside of the room. Thank you. Thank you for you all for listening.